Hello, this is the Auroville Radio. I'm Turia.
And I'm Adi.
Welcome to Deepenham's monthly podcast series. This is the first episode.
And our guest today is Orvan, a teacher from law school. Happy to have you here.
So let's get to the point here. How long have you been teaching?
That's not an easy question to answer. I think somehow, growing up in Auroville, one sometimes gets opportunities pretty early on.
Oh, yeah.
So, as I loved horse riding and horses and taking care of them, I started working when I was around 9. Whatever free time I had, I would go through the horse farm. Working there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then, at age 12, a whole bunch of us were asked to work with the 5-year-olds.
Oh, so you're babysitting, basically.
Sort of, but on horses.
Oh.
What? Oh, okay.
That's cool.
And
that's
then cool. That moved on to in Deha Shakti, with the sports program. At age 14, I picked up the 10-year-olds.
Oh, so you just started, like, teaching horse riding.
Exactly.
And then it moved to, like, teaching, like, English and stuff.
Exactly. Well, from horse riding, then to gymnastics and things like that at Deha Shakti Sports. And then to English in Deepenham when I was 16.
Yeah, we heard that you did something, like, in...
So it's been a while, about half my life.
Yeah, that's cool. You always started, I guess.
How did you change your passion? Like, you started with horse riding, how did you reach to English?
Well, I don't know if English per se is my passion. I love words. I love, I guess the passion or the curiosity was on education from quite early on. I remember once in pre-creche. So I must have been, 3, 2, 2.5. It's a very vivid memory. I think it's one of my earliest ones, of a little kid who must have arrived. It was his birthday, all properly dressed. You know, when you wear your fancy clothes for your birthday. And there was this little pond just at the entrance of pre-creche at the time. It was where TLC is now.
Oh, yeah.
And he walked up. And he just jumped in the pool.
No.
And one of the teachers saw that, pulled him out and gave him such a scolding. And I was sitting there looking a little confused as to why this boy was getting such a scolding. Like, it was his birthday. Obviously, he has just jumped in a pool without supervision with all his clothes on.
He wanted to have fun. I don't know.
Exactly. But that's when I started saying, but that's not how it's supposed to work, right?
Already at that age.
Yeah.
Oh. That's deep.
I don't know. It's sometimes, I'm sure you guys have had also those moments where you see things happen around you and you're like, is that the way we want to go about things?
Yeah. We question how it's going on, right?
Like, you feel like it's in words, but it's not. Like, in the moment, you're questioning it, but for me, it's like, I don't know if I'm saying it in words, but I understand it, I don't know.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Since you mentioned education, what is education to you?
Well, actually, last month, when I read your kaleidoscope, which was on education, I thought that's a pretty cool approach, and I actually really enjoyed some of the articles. So I gave the same challenge to some of my students.
Oh.
Okay?
I think we heard that, yeah.
You heard about that.
Mahavir was like, yeah.
Exactly. So you guys are the inspiration for the older school.
Yeah.
And one of the students brought up the difference between education and learning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because we often talk about education, but can you, inflict education on anybody?
Then that's not learning, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. No. So then how do you, when do you actually, is education related to learning?
I think it is related, but learning is, I guess, it could be forced or not too much effort put into it.
See, if you're forced being learning, it's kind of just like memorization. It's kind of like you're a robot, that someone tells you to memorize or, learn. But I don't think you're, really applying yourself,
Okay, so then what do you define? I mean, even if you, let's say, memorize something, right? Mm-hmm. Are you learning it or do we count learning when we apply it in life? What do we mean by learning?
Okay.
Understand something new, right?
Okay, yeah, could be.
And when you truly learn, you are invested and you're really, passionate or you want to know about it,
Yes.
So,
So then with education, if you're asking what is education, what do I think is education? I'd come back with another question. So which is, what do you think, and I think that's interesting for anybody to think about, what do you think is the most interesting thing a young person can learn?
That really depends on what the person likes, right?
Like the most important thing, let's say, not interesting thing.
Like as a child growing up? Like.
Yeah.
Initially, probably manners.
Okay, manners.
Yeah, manners is important.
Why?
Probably like discipline, and also like you kind of have respect for people like older than you or younger, and you show that you're not like, I don't know, you're civilized, I don't know.
All right.
And yeah, maybe manners is the first thing you kind of learn. I don't
know. Well, what do you think is the role of manners in our society?
I guess it kind of keeps everyone in a certain
place,
I guess. Like,
it shows that you respect someone, and that manners is like, we talking about like etiquette or manners? Like,
you decide. You brought it up.
Yeah, I think etiquette's more like you're showing that you're like educated and that you know like what you're doing. I don't know, like,
yeah,
that you're not a monkey or something. Like, you're showing that someone brought you up in a nice way, you know? Like, that's what I think. Manners, it's respect, and it's also showing that you care about someone in a way. Like,
nice.
I think.
Yeah, and respect their boundaries and everything.
Right. I think that makes sense if you say this is one of the first things to learn, because as human beings, we're kind of social animals, right?
Yeah, we're very social.
And the moment we start interacting with each other, that aspect of boundaries or care for each other, respect for each other's space becomes quite important.
Yeah.
So once you have that more or less in place, what's next?
School. I don't know.
Okay, what's school then? What's the most important thing a young person can learn, or the second most?
I don't know, brain development, I thought.
Okay, logical thinking, perhaps?
Okay, where does logical thinking take you?
Oh.
I mean, it takes you, like, critical thinking helps you with, like, what? I had the word.
Logical thinking. That's a hard one.
Fair enough. Okay. I think what's interesting about education, the moment we bring it up, is that most of the time, and I've asked this question to quite a lot of people, I've asked it to myself as well, when you ask a group of, be it youngsters or adults, what do you think is the most important thing a young person can learn? They rarely respond with maths or English.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They never. Oh.
Right? Which is kind of funny because we spend how many years in school?
Yeah. And it's mostly math and English.
Mostly that, right? English or whichever language you're learning in your own school, right?
Yeah.
But then you say, what are we doing that for, what, minimum of 8 years? Yeah. Usually about 12 years of your life. And then if you choose to go to college, bang, come on.
It's even longer.
Exactly. So then I think it's a very valid question. What is this education?
I think the reason people like don't choose to like say English or math is because more than anything, you focus on like your daily life, you know, like going to the like supermarket or like how to make a fire, you know, like that's like you need those things, and like daily things maybe are really important, but math and English, it kind of feels like to a lot of people that you don't use that as often, right?
Perhaps. I mean, it's a tool for communication.
Yeah.
Like English, yeah, a lot.
In one way, English is pretty cool. I mean, whichever language you're learning as a base, language is our means of communication, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our means of also understanding the past, of understanding the present,
true.
And possibly projecting into the future.
Yeah,
sure. Right? Because once you have a base in language, you can study anything. You can dive into anything, be it self-expression through writing another, or exploring what the great minds of the world have looked at.
Yeah.
So I think in that sense, if we look at education in terms of developing different parts of the being, developing a strong and stable body that's capable of flexibility, sorting out this whole emotional part of us and what we call the vital here in Orwell, right?
Yeah.
And figuring out how that works. And then training the mind. I think logical thinking is one of those aspects.
Yeah,
but we want the mind to be broad. There's so many aspects in the mind to be developed. And then for what, all of that? Why would we want to develop all those parts?
So that, I don't know, we can have a life.
In situations that, like, you don't know what to do, you think the best in those moments. I don't know, like...
Could be. But then do you say, I mean, am I... When I'm educating myself, yeah. or you're educating yourself right now, what are you educating? Would you say that you're just your body?
No. There's also our mind and...
And what?
Emotions, I suppose.
Okay. And then what?
I think, like, our thoughts are, like, the way we acted, maybe.
But are your thoughts really yours, or have you picked them up from your environment?
Is that true?
From people.
Other yeah.
people.
So then what happens when we take away everything that's come to you from your social environment, from your upbringing, from your cultural background?
Are you a person? I don't know.
Exactly, what's left?
I guess you have to experience everything for yourself then,
what,
to see what you believe in.
What type of person you were?
But if you take all this away, then you're basically undoing your...
Undoing an aspect of personality, which is kind of the mask that we have on, but is there something deeper?
Than personality.
Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, most of us have several personalities. Like, yeah. Do you behave the same way with your parents and with your friends?
No.
That's it. All right, go on with something else. With education, you get me stuck for hours.
Yeah. That was deep.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with an easier one.
Okay, I'll do.
Yeah. Mm.
What do you do in your free time?
What do I do in my free time? What do you mean by free time?
Free time, or what, like, are your hobbies?
I don't know. Well, I go to school and I work in school.
Is it
your hobby?
Is it enjoyable? I mean,
like, I guess apart from teaching, like, what are the...
Okay, what do I do other than teaching?
Yeah.
I work at Farewell. Do you guys know what Farewell is?
No
I've
clue.
Heard of it. I don't know it.
But... It's basically Orville's Home of the Dead. Oh. Basically, when people pass away.
Farewell, yeah, I remember now.
Exactly. So we have two spaces for Farewell. One is the place where we receive the bodies, wash them, and then have them there if people wish to say goodbye. And then we have the burial and cremation ground, which is at a different location.
We have all those in Orville?
Yeah.
I never knew.
Dude, it's right opposite your house, my dear.
Yeah, it's right next to your place. It's between your house and Deepanam School.
Really?
Yeah, you haven't seen it? Oh, damn.
Can ask Mahavir to take you for a little spin around there. It's quite interesting work. So that's one of my works.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Oh, what part do you like about it? You just like
collecting
dead bodies.
That's it.
Well, I think I've always had somehow a connection with fire. I used to do a lot of fire juggling and things like that.
Oh,
that's
you do
really
fire,
cool.
You do fire juggling?
Yeah, I used to. Not so much recently. And I've always had a contact with death as well.
Oh.
And I guess with the possibility of working with cremation, I get to be in contact with both.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a very nice combination. And it's there's something very calming and very soothing about looking at a body, like you said, it's a dead body, right? But it was full of life. And here in Orville, we know each other, no? Most of us know each other. So it's always people that you've known to some extent.
Yeah.
And to say, to look at this, to be able to put physically, to put your work into it. So we build up the oven and all to do that.
Do all of that.
Yeah.
I guess and the process then, right?
Exactly, the process of it. And then by the end of it, you're left with two handfuls of ashes. And you say, that's a life. That's what's left. And I think it's a good way to then come back and look at one's own life and say, I mean, if tomorrow I pass away, right? Yeah. That's what will be left of my body. Fine. Who's going to clean up my house? Because you get more than two handfuls, right?
Yeah.
And it starts to be, I don't know, you question a little bit how you live your life, in which way, and what you, all the things that we add on in our life, are they really necessary?
Mm,
so yeah. I don't know if you would call it a hobby.
I think if I did that, I would get like,
I'll be traumatized.
I don't know.
You get like less like sensitive around it the more you do it, maybe? Or do you just feel
no,
safe?
I don't think so. I don't think you get desensitized. On the contrary, I think there's a bit of a taboo around death in our...
Yeah,
yeah, you know? That's very true.
And it's more the question of...
It's a sensitive topic.
Exactly, it's a bit of a sensitive topic. Yeah. And usually it's not the death that's sensitive, it's the loss, it's the people who are left behind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the dead person is just dead.
Yeah.
But I think it's a topic worth exploring, and many, sometimes in different societies, one waits till one is old or sick to explore the topic. Instead, one can say, you know what, let me explore it when I'm young and healthy and curious. and look at time and look at death and understand that, because then I can start to understand life a bit better.
I mean, death is a big part of life, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's one of those things that all of us are going to meet.
At one point.
Yeah, around us and probably within us as well.
That's actually really cool. You just like try and like
understand
death. That's actually cool. Yeah. I don't know. Everyone always like ignores it, you know.
Yeah, for me that was one of the big questions when I shifted to law school. I think I was around 13.
Oh.
And that's one of the questions that we started exploring, because we often go with questions. And it was this, what is death?
How do you explore questions? Like, you just debate, or...
I mean, you debate with your mind, right? Like, you think of a... Like, what I do is, I just see, like, a really interesting topic, and I ask myself, do I know what this is, or... You just keep on questioning everything, like, it goes into a rabbit hole, I don't know.
Yeah, there's that. And then when you do it with a group, or... in a space that's kind of held, you bring up a question, right? First, you discuss it amongst yourselves, you see who's at where, and then... Because we have the capacity for language, right? So we used to do this with our English teacher, for example. And she would say, okay, let's go see what ancient Indian thought said about this. Let's go see what the Greeks said about this. Let's go see. And so then you jump from culture to culture and across time and space, right?
You see point of views different.
Right, because death is one of those questions that everybody has spoken of, right?
Mm. Yeah, that's true. So you connect with history as well.
Exactly. You connect with history. You connect with different approaches.
And it's important to see, like, how everyone views it instead of like seeing it one point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a way of stepping out of yourself also, not just like what I think because I feel and I this and I that. You step out and you look at it a bit more objectively then, right?
Multiple perspectives, yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking of law school, why did you decide to teach in law school?
I didn't really decide. Basically what happened is I was called into Deepanam because... At the time, one of the teachers in Deepanam was also a coach at Dayashakti, where I was already working. So he said, look, we need somebody to work in English. Can you come? And I thought, sure, let me try it out. And I started working with the 11-year-olds.
Okay.
So I accompanied them for maybe 2 years or 2.5 years. And then they were kind of getting big for Deepanam. So then I just took them to law school and I followed them there.
You went with your students?
So that's cool.
Yeah, and I was still studying in law school at the time, right?
Oh.
So then I ended up doing a bit of both. And then slowly, without really me realizing it, just time-wise...
Oh, you became a full-time teacher.
Exactly. But I still attend a couple of classes. Like today, Thursday, I attended two different classes as a student.
Oh, that's cool.
That's the thing about law school, honestly.
Exactly, that's one of the things about law school. You get to really play around with that.
Learn and teach. Yeah. That's a great experience.
So do you, like, was it weird, like, the age gap? Because, like, you were still learning and there were, like, so many old people. Or is it, like, just chill?
In which way?
Like, I thought, like, if you're, like, a really young person, how is it, like, sitting with all the teachers? Would you sit with, like...
Sometimes, yeah, I'd sit with older people. I was used to being kind of the youngest in my... group, often doing things. And then I still have that impression that I'm the youngest one in the room, but recently I've realized it's not often the case anymore.
I thought it would just be like awkward, like with like super older.
It was funny because recently we had one of our students who's I think 18, who we invited to join one of these sessions where we explore Sri Aurobindo.
Yeah.
And we call it the session. It's always had that name. It's ex-students who left, basically, who come back for this. And we call it young adults. So he walked into the room, right? And he's like, where are the young adults? Because it's mostly like 30, 40, 50-year-old people sitting in there. And a bunch of 19-year-olds.
Exactly, that's what I thought it would feel like, exactly.
So I think he was a bit taken aback and everybody laughed and that's it. We moved on.
Okay, that's good. No one really like stuck with, oh, you're the youngest. You know?
No.
I mean, they're more mature after
all. Yeah.
Okay. Do you expect much from your students?
What do you mean by that?
Or like, what are your expectations for your students, like, if you have any?
How strict would you be?
Okay, those are two slightly different things.
No.
Yeah, okay, fine. Forget that.
No, it's fair enough. Because expectations would mean that I really expect of them something in particular. I'm not sure I can say that because each of the students I would approach slightly differently.
Exactly.
However, in terms of how strict can I be, I can be pretty strict. Okay, and then I can say, I expect this from you, blah, 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 blah. Do I really believe it? No. But I shouldn't be telling you that in case I have you at some point, yeah. Okay? So yeah. Just forget I told you that later on.
Okay.
Yeah? So I put on a big voice when I take the role of the one who is to extract the work from the students.
Oh, God. Sounds scary.
That's the idea. Usually students lose their fear of me after a few months, unfortunately.
Aww. How do you plan for your classes? Inspiration or just
go with it?
No, I plan. Definitely I plan. It depends whether it's a whole new bunch of kids, right? Oh, yeah. Or it's kids that I've worked with for several years. Because ideally in law school, we have our kids staying for 4 to 5 years.
5 years?
Yeah. So then with those, I already know what I would like to do. What I've told my students in recent times, or the last few years, let's say, because, all right, I take a step back. Because I went through the law school process,
yeah.
After I went through it, I saw what I had got from it, which worked really well for me. And I also saw what I felt like I had missed out on. And one of the aspects was kind of expressing myself, actually.
Oh.
In terms of being able to articulate my thoughts. Because at the school, we have teachers who are very articulate. And also because we do a lot of discussion, so we end up discovering the whole world, right? So I would be able to pull out a quote from all sorts of people. I'd have lots of ideas jumping in my head. But I realized explaining things, especially to somebody outside of Orville who has a different vocabulary,
it's hard.
I would get stuck.
It's a little more tough because exactly. You're used to the certain type of people.
Exactly, and a certain type of basic understanding, right? Like when we use certain words, we know that's what they mean for us, but often in a different context, we need to redefine them.
Yeah.
So in my classes, I focus quite a lot on articulation. So figuring out what you have in your head, in your heart.
Bringing it out.
First, figuring it out.
Yeah,
And you can do that often by bringing it out, making it more objective, right? And then be able to articulate it. And by articulate it, I mean that I would like you to be able to stand in front of a crowd. And a crowd could be just that one person that you admire the most, or 10,000 people, and say exactly what you mean to say, and be heard and understood. And there's a certain training for that. And a lot of it is figuring out where you are at, who you are, what you are made of. Because usually when we try to say something, especially if we're emotional about it, it gets a little tough, right?
Yeah, it gets so tough.
So then it's to figure out that and how to use words and...
So you don't just stick to English, you also go to like all kind of topics.
Ideally, the students, by the time they come to me, I hope they have a base in English.
Yeah.
Right? Because then we can really explore everything.
So you don't teach the first or second year?
See, if tomorrow you were to come, I've seen some of your articles, right? I see that you're able to read and write and I think, right?
Yeah.
So then I would focus maybe the first year on organizing written pieces, organizing your thoughts a bit more, figuring out what are the different types of, the different reasons for which we speak. Do I speak to tell you a story? Do I speak to convince you?
Like, depending on what type of audience you're, like, talking to, you can talk differently, like,
the
way of writing.
That, the purpose of what you're trying to do. And so we would work on that the first year. So just get the basic structures. And then I would hope that the spelling and things like that are more or less sorted. And if not, we do a little things on the side. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But those are details. Because I know that by that age, if you choose to sort that out, you can.
Yeah.
Right?
It takes a little effort. Right?
Exactly.
With commitment, I guess you could do it.
Yeah, usually that's what happens. Because even if you don't do it, let's say from 14 to 15 or 16... Yeah. If by 18 you're like, you know what, I should really learn to spell.
Yeah.
You just do. Like, I learned to spell because I was teaching. So I always had a dictionary. I didn't have my phone at the time. I had a dictionary next to me while I was correcting a student's work.
Oh.
Because I had to check. I couldn't afford to make a mistake. I learned to spell somehow.
Yeah, I need to do that.
Definitely, me too.
How education is going to be in the future? Like,
within Orville, in the world?
Or yeah, within Orville, whatever you want. I don't know.
Okay. What do you think first? You came up with a question.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly,
no clue.
Yeah.
I think it would. I thought it would be like. No, I thought it would be like a little more structured because there's like so many people that are gonna come, and all these people are gonna be like outsiders, and they're gonna want like structured things for the kids and that type of stuff. So that could be one possibility, or somehow if everyone like believed in like law school, like, or everyone wanted the Orville dream, that would probably like, it would probably, free progress would continue or something.
All right. You kind of mean like more structured.
It could either go two ways. More, like, more structured, or, like, add more, like, schools, like, transition and those type of schools, or we would just stick with it, I guess. I don't know.
I think you need to consider, I think it's a good point, if we imagine that Orville would have more people coming in, and I think there's that necessity as well, right, if we want to grow. We would definitely have, on one side, people asking for a more structured approach, because often parents have the consideration or the worry that, what if my kid wants to go out? Like, I've made the choice of this place, but I don't want to impose that on my kid, right? However, there are two things to consider, I think. I always say two and I hold out three fingers. So two things to consider. One is that the world is changing, and it's changing quite fast. I think you're a bit aware of it. And we have seen for a while, I mean, we have known as a society for a while, that our education systems are a little dated, right?
Very dated, yeah.
And today with, I mean, already with the arrival of internet and then with AI developing, there's a lot of the stuff that we're asked to learn by heart that now, I mean, information, you don't really need to. So what would we need to learn, actually, as growing individuals to do well in the world that is changing?
To express yourself, right?
Possibly, but express yourself what? I mean, sometimes people express themselves and they have nothing to say, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it could be... Because there's going to be, like, more technology and a lot of that stuff. One could be, like, learn a lot more of AI and that type of stuff.
Could be, but would that really help either? I don't know. I think one of the qualities that would need to be developed is adaptability. Basically, to be able to adapt to situations, right? Because if you're going to step into a changing world, you need to know that probably everything that you are studying at the moment
could not be relevant.
Yes.
Or useless.
Yeah, which doesn't mean you don't study it.
Yeah.
Because that's a way of training your mind. That's a way of training yourself, right?
Yeah.
But it just means that you can't depend on that particular information. You need to constantly update yourself in that sense, like the programs on our phones, you know. So I think if I look at what would change in education in Orville, I think we need to change a lot. I think we need to be a lot more courageous.
Meaning?
Meaning that I understand the fear that parents may have of what if my kid wants to go wherever they want to go. But I think a bit more faith in one's own kids.
Yeah.
No, in one's own kids.
Yeah,
that if they learn how to learn, if they learn to be self-motivated individuals.
Self-motivation is super important.
Yeah. Individuals with good hearts, who are generous, who are capable of understanding a complex world, where will they not be received?
Yeah, that's true.
And you may have to take back doors. You may have to try harder. You won't have the easy path in front of you, right? But sometimes the harder path is what forms you.
Of course.
So I would go all towards a much more bold education. Now, whether we arrive there right away or with some twists and turns, let's see.
Hopefully we reach there someday.
All right.
Thank you for your time.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.